Yeah, Stacey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm the one that just bought the Freelance X Factor, and I love it.
Oh, good. Hey, thanks for the ad there. That was a good course. We're gonna raise the price on it because it did well, but it didn't do as well as we thought, and I think it's because people thought, well, probably not that good because it's $87.
Hey, if you guys are on the call, you need to buy the Freelance X Factor. It'll make you 10 times your money in a day.
Is that Chris?
It is.
Hi, Chris. Chris is
right.
Officially our, Chris is our biggest fan. He actually, I'm going to get him a T-shirt.
Where do we find it?
Just go
what
to
is the
Freelance
support?
X Factor
Copy
review.
Blogger.
Look on the number one result.
Wait, said one person.
FreelanceXFactor.com will reroute right. you to the Copy Blogger page with information.
Awesome.
Right.
Or if you go to CopyBlogger, there's a little, is there a little ad for it? No.
And what is this program?
That is, what are you guys making me do ads for myself here? That is a program that Brian Clark and I did over on CopyBlogger to help freelance writers market their business more effectively. And it's actually really cool for anybody who's got a little bit of smarts about social media because it's about setting yourself up as a social media marketing consultant instead of a freelance writer because marketing consultants make 10 times as much money for doing the same exact thing. So it's about social media marketing, and it's about how to put together a writing business that's, you know, profitable and where you get nice customers who respect you instead of what you usually get as a freelance writer. So it's got a lot of cool stuff in it. We just kind of I don't know, Brian and I just sort of had this desire to do a big brain dump about everything we know about social media marketing. So, and it's cheap.
It's
now.
A great course. I couldn't believe it cost that much, seriously.
All right. Yeah, Brian hates to do anything under $100, so this is kind of an anomaly. But don't worry, he'll raise the price on it.
Well, I'm glad I have my copy already.
Yeah, so you're smart. All righty. So we are now kind of officially into the time. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you guys, and then I'll let you know sort of what we're going to do, about how long we're going to do it. And I've got a nice selection of questions here. I'll get to as many questions as I can, and I might do a second. I might just do a quick recording on questions if we run over because I don't want to keep people for millions of hours today. So I'm going to mute you all, and then I'll start talking. Okay, all guests are now muted. If I'm just talking and no one's hearing me, somebody tweet me. Otherwise, I'm going to assume you guys can hear me fine. So thank you guys for joining me on the call. This is really cool. This is really neat. It's funny because I was nervous this morning before the call, and I'm never nervous before these kind of calls because it's really what I like to do. And the reason that I was nervous about it is that at the end of the call, I'm going to let you know about my new membership site that I am launching. I'm kind of pre-launching it today just to you guys who are on the call, give you guys a chance to check it out if you want to. But selling just makes me, like, literally, like, sick to my stomach. Like, I have this little yucky, sick place on my stomach. So I'm going to talk to you about my selling experience at Glaser Kennedy because it was super interesting, and I think you might be able to relate to it. And then at the end of the call, instead of selling you because I don't like to sell, I'm just going to tell you what the site's about, and then you can go check it out and see if it's something that you think you would like. So the frame of this call is I came home from this Glaser Kennedy Info Summit conference. And this is, if you don't know what it is, it's so old school, it's not even funny. It's this crazy, like, these are people who own, you know, auto repair shops, and they own dry cleaners, and they own restaurants. They own very more traditional businesses, not like social media stuff like we do. Or like most of us do. You know, I know that there's some more traditional business people here too. And so this is an information marketing conference for quote-unquote real businesses, for offline businesses, for traditional business. So I was a little nervous about it because this is not my crowd, you know. I mean, I don't normally write for dry cleaners. I don't normally write for auto repair shops. So that's what the Glaser Kennedy Conference was. I had really low expectations. I had a terrible attitude going into it, mostly because, again, I decided I was going to push myself and I was going to sell from the stage. And what selling from the stage means is you give a talk and then you give a pitch and you sell something. You sell, and I had some CDs to sell. And I was so uncomfortable, I can't even tell you. I mean, I was hoping to get swine flu. I'm not even kidding you. I was hoping I was going to get H1N1 so I wouldn't have to go. But I did not get H1N1, so I went. And in addition to, fortunately, I spoke early, so I got my nerves out of the way really quickly, and it went so much better than I could have expected. And I'll talk a little bit about why I think that was and how you can kind of use that for yourself. But I got about 32 pages of notes from things that I learned from people. It was really fascinating to me. And the overarching thing that came out was, these are dry cleaners and restaurants and chiropractors and dentists and auto repair shops, and they're talking about the stuff that we talk about in social media all of a sudden. You know, they're talking about relationships. They're talking about they're talking about making a connection. They're talking about transparency. They're talking about authenticity. Because if you know the traditional internet marketer personality type, it's usually push-button system, run some pay-per-click advertising and get a bunch of names and build a list and then sell the holy, you know, skeezes out of them until they cry uncle and unsubscribe. It's very aggressive and pushy. And it's not really about a connection or a relationship. It's about making some money. All of a sudden, all these traditional people and then these traditional internet marketers who sell to those people are talking about the stuff I've been talking about. So that was kind of weird and interesting and unfamiliar. And I think it probably played a big factor. And I think if I had spoken to this same group a year ago, I don't know that they would have been very excited about it. But this is the year they were really excited about it. So I'm just going to run through, I just kind of starred some of the bullet points that I came up with, and I'm going to keep running through these for about 40 minutes, then we'll do some calls, and then I'll give you a couple of details about the site. So the first thing, when I first started, before I'd even attended any sessions, I kept hearing about one of the speakers. He was so brilliant. He was so good. People couldn't stop talking about him. He did such a great job last year. They couldn't wait to hear his talk. And, in fact, he did sell, you know, he sold a lot of material during his talk. He was very popular. But I knew this man's name because someone I know had bought from him and had complained, like, 2 months ago, like, yeah, this guy talks a good talk, but, you know, his stuff is crap. I mean, he puts all of his best stuff into his sales, but then there's nothing to back it up with, and it's really disappointing. So pretty much this guy could have gotten on that stage, you know, walked on water, performed miracles, raised a couple of dead people, and I wouldn't have bought a thing from him because word of mouth beats marketing. So what people say about you beats what you say about yourself, and it doesn't matter how talented you are. And then kind of a corollary of that is, if you can get other people saying cool stuff about you because you do really, just you do really generous stuff and you really share a lot, it doesn't matter how incompetent you are as a salesperson because your part's not that important. The important part is other people. So literally before I even started, before I even got out of my hotel room, I was already kind of cluing into some interesting, and I actually folded that into my talk, and people, I didn't fold it in that we had a speaker who I heard had a dead product, but that concept into the talk, and people, you know, kind of responded to that. I attended a session with a gentleman, British gentleman named Chris Cardell. I was really impressed with him. He is traditional, but he gets the relationship part and he gets the give before you get part. And he was talking about being broke. He had, in fact, he showed us, it was a great visual image because he showed us a picture of the car that he had, nice car, that was repossessed because he kind of shifted a major gear in his business and it took a while for his cash flow to catch up with his vision. And I think not enough people talk about that. Everyone talks about, oh, I made $400,000 in 20 minutes, but not enough people talk about the 18 months it took to get to making $400,000 in 20 minutes and the fact that sometimes cash is tight and that creates a lot of anxiety. And this is a normal part of business. When you're starting business, cash flow is tight. And so, I mean, I would give you two ideas on that. One is do something little. Just do something little to kind of get rolling that costs you almost nothing to create and just gives you a little bit of money coming in. It might be an ebook, you might have some consulting options, but start little. Don't try and start with, I have a client who has this gigantic site that she's trying to create, and she's been working on it for so long, and it's a really good site, and it's really valuable, but she's so overwhelmed, you know, and it's so anxiety-creating to start huge. So start small, but the other thing is, I really liked what he had to say, and this is easier said than done. You've got to let go of that emotional uptightness about money and debt before the thing's going to turn around for you. And it's not that you won't make any money, because you might, but you're not going – you have to let go of being uptight about money before you can stop being uptight about money. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it really is, even though you may have, you know, even though you may have some bills due that are not getting paid on time, and that's just so stress-making. And right now, I think so many people are in that boat. You need to be careful about letting that be your dominant, you know, reality. Sorry if this is getting too new age, but you need to be careful about that being the most important thing in your life, that I have money that I owe and I'm not paying the bills maybe exactly on time. Pay your bills on time, but don't let that become I've got a message, a tweet from Genuine Chris. Amen to the 18 months it took me to make $400,000. Don't let that be your dominant reality. As soon as you tighten up about money, it's really hard to make money. So as much as you can, try and, you know, do your meditation or your relaxation, or just let yourself know that money is a symbol. Sometimes it's a symbol that appears very scary and real, and I'm not going to make light of anybody's financial issues, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to mentally put that in the category of imaginary problems so that you can focus on actually, you know, making some money. All right. Another Chris Cardell-ism here that I really liked. Business's highest purpose. The most successful live to add value to the lives of their customers, to truly improve their lives. Making money is terrific, but it's secondary. And this, I have an example, a local example here, where we've got a person who, he does kind of what I do. He has a consulting practice, a consulting business, and he... all he can think about, like he'll launch a premier coaching program and he'll charge $1,000 a month. All he can do is translate that into how much money he's going to make. That's the only – he gets stuck there, you know. Instead of thinking about, well, if I'm going to charge people $1,000 a month for coaching, what's how can I create $10,000 a month worth of value for them? He doesn't think that way. He just thinks about me, mine. He keeps doing the calculation on his own income, and he's not doing well. And he's not doing well because even though he's super smart and really can add a lot of value, people are picking up on that vibe. They're picking up on that vibe that he wants to get first and then give. You know, he's the kind of person who he doesn't give anything away. He, you know, it's all, you know, and he says, well, that would diminish my value in front of my customers. And I don't think so. I think that increases your value to an extent. You know, you don't want to give everything away, but we're in a give-before-you-get economy right now. It has to do with social media. It has to do with how much free stuff there is. And so put your focus in the right place or else you're going to find yourself really, really stuck. All right. I'm going to scroll through here. I have so much. I have so many notes here. Really interesting guy named Mike Koenigs. I'm kind of mixed feelings about Mike. I think that he has some really good advice. He also, his business supports a really nice charity that builds medical facilities for children in the poorest parts of Africa, so that makes me dig him a lot. I'm not 100% sold on his product. It might be because I don't totally understand what it does. It's a YouTube viral video product. But the guy, I like him, his heart's in the right place. And he had some interesting ideas about doing these viral videos. He suggests you just get a simple camera, like a flip camera, or the camera he likes is the Kodak Z18HD. Just give you a little free bonus there, Kodak Z18HD. But, you know, I just use a flip. A flip is great and has great sound quality. And he suggests you do maybe 10 1 to 2 or 3 minute videos answering FAQs, frequently asked questions about what you do, so the questions that you get all the time. Now, he has a whole, you know, kind of sequence and program that he does. But then he just releases these, and then you have at the end of the video, you have a call to action that says, go to this website and find out more about what I do. And he puts these out on YouTube. He has huge luck with these. Now, he's got a product that will put him, it gets him on all the social bookmarking sites, and it helps them do really well on Google. But frankly, YouTube, you know, just getting on YouTube is huge. I mean, YouTube has more traffic. I think it has more traffic than Google. It has an unbelievable amount of traffic. And just 1 to 3 minute videos about what you do and answering a good, sincere, valuable answer to the most common questions that you get. And the part two of this that I thought was interesting, in addition to just that, because that's something that you could do, you know, you could do that in like in a day and start getting really good using YouTube really effectively to get traffic. But the second part of this is that he was inviting people to do practice. You know, he was doing little hot seats with people, and he was practicing having them do their questions. And almost to a person, what they did was they launched into a sales pitch about what they, you know, how would they have benefits you and all the good, you know, because these are people who are really well-trained as salespeople. And he kept having to interrupt people and say, you're selling me. You haven't earned the right to sell me yet. You know, answer the question. Give the value first. It was so hard for people to do. It was so hard for people to, you know, they feel like, oh, I've just got one shot, you know, so I've got to make my shot. You don't just have one shot, because this is the world of social media and communication technology, and you have a lot of shots if you know your stuff. If you're putting out stuff that's valuable for people, you'll be able to take all the shots you need. So just use the time to build value. Don't use the time to get across your USP or your, you know, your elevator pitch or your benefits of doing business with you. That stuff comes later when you've earned the right to talk about it. The way you earn the right to talk about it is answer a question. Provide useful value first. It's interesting because this is a case in which if you are not if you're not some kind of sales, you know, rock star, and in fact you're like me and selling kind of makes you a little sick, this is such good news because it's so much easier to do. If you do have sales training, you're going to have some habits to unlearn because you've got some work to do before you get to the selling part. I think for most of the people on this call, this is like, yay, you know, like this is how to be a salesperson. And I have to tell you guys the story of this sales presentation because it was so comical that I did. This point, this is a personal point. This is from my personal notes. My coach, Gary Barnes, who I think is just so fantastic, and I want you guys all to meet him. I recorded an interesting call with him about money, and I'll post that to the blog so that people can listen to that for free, because I think he's done me so much good in my business. But he has a concept about the little genius. So the little genius is kind of that person you were when you were maybe 3 or 4 years old, and that person's still in there. In fact, that person still calls an awful lot of shots. And so my little genius was the one who was super-duper stamping her feet about doing this whole conference. You know, I don't feel comfortable around these people, and I'm the only one with pink hair, and I'm afraid they're not going to like me, and I'm afraid I'm not going to make friends. I mean, it's like pre-K stuff, right? But the thing I realized after the event is it was the little genius who sold for me. She was really responsible for the success because I was able to quiet her down by saying, look, you don't have to do anything creepy. You don't have to use techniques. You don't have to close. Just get up and talk about stuff you think is cool and talk about it in language that makes sense for you and just have fun. Get up there and have fun, because talking about stuff like this is super fun for me. So get up there, have fun, indulge yourself, be who you are. They buy or they don't buy. I don't care. If I don't sell two of these, I don't care. It's just, you know, who cares? It's not important. What's important is I have something that I can help people with. I need to focus on that. And the best way for me to focus on that is to kind of get in touch with, you know, I mean, if you don't think that it's my little genius who's responsible for me having pink hair, right? I mean, duh, right? So I kind of let her take the reins, and boy, I got to say, she did an awesome job with it. So don't be afraid of that part of yourself. Don't be afraid of the part that's like not professional or not doing it right or not following the advice or not doing the thing that the guru said, if you don't do it, you're going to die broke. You know, like these people, every guru, including me in some ways, is trying to sell you something. So if they give you advice that doesn't feel right, just ignore it. Only take advice that feels good to your gut. I mean, unfortunately, I saw a friend of mine do a sales presentation, and it did very poorly because she had a sales trainer who coached her in closing techniques. And, I mean, she did okay, but she would have sold double, triple if she had just been herself because people love her, and people respond to her, and she's got something worth saying. And all of this technique stuff, it just turned people off. People didn't want that. They wanted something genuine. They wanted a connection with her, not a connection with her creepy sales coach. Moving on, Frank Kern. I saw Frank Kern speak. That was interesting. He drank a considerable amount of good bourbon while he was up there. And I know it was good bourbon, and I know it was real because I know the person who got the bottle for him. It wasn't Maker's Mark. I'm trying to remember. It was Booker's, I think. So he just got up and kind of riffed for a while. And he is, even if you never buy his stuff, and you might not want to buy his stuff. His stuff is good if you are doing well with information products and you want to give yourself a boost, you know, then his stuff is worth the money. If you're just getting started, I don't know. I wouldn't do it if I was just getting started. It needs a little bit more advanced stage in your business, in my opinion, to make your money back. But his marketing is so good, and everybody should study his marketing because he knows the drill. And one of the things he talked about is results in advance. And that's his term for it. It's something that a lot of us do. He does it particularly well. He gives advice people can act on immediately for free. I call it cookie content, which is content that rewards the person just for consuming it. And so that's, I think, really a cornerstone of what Kern does well, is that his free stuff you could take and make money with. And again, you kind of have to be a little careful about not having your free stuff be the best part of what you do. You know, you have to, if you're going to sell something, then you've got to have value all the way around. But I will say, he does results in advance better than anybody. He did a little kind of a mental cycle. I'm going to circle back to that if I have time. It was cool, but it's also kind of motivational. I want to stick on a couple of practical tips, and then if I have time, I'll circle back. Something really interesting Kern talked about. Most people are not good fits for us as customers. This is especially true if you're in the information business, because most people don't want information. Most people just want entertainment. If you're in the information or advice business, let's say you're a coach. Let's say even you are a wellness practitioner, like an herbal medicine doctor or a chiropractor. You're giving advice. You're helping people improve their lives. Most people, frankly, just want to sit and consume entertainment and be distracted from their lives. Most people don't want to do anything. So your share of the market is this teeny tiny little like dot at the top of the pyramid. And if you serve the low end of the market, and Kern is acutely aware of this because he got popped by the FTC and lost a lot of money and also lost his ability to do business in a lot of ways, by serving the low end of the market, for him, it's the kind of get-rich-quick crowd. They call it business opportunity. It's the people who, they want all these easy systems to start a business, but they don't want to actually do anything. They just like systems. They like dreaming about making money. They don't typically make money. And enough of them make money. I mean, enough of them make it work that the system kind of you know, ticks along, but 98% of the people who buy are not action-oriented people. And so I'm going to quote from my notes here, serving the low end of the market is dangerous. Most of the market are broke and are looking for miracles. They're newbies, they're fearful, and they have very high resistance. So the fact that they have high resistance means you have to sell hard. And I will edit this out of Frank Kern language because I have some sensitive ears in my audience. If you don't consciously decide who you want to attract, thou shalt be screwed. There was a different verb. So you really have to think about being extraordinarily selective about who your customers are, because bottom-feeding customers, first of all, they don't have any money. Secondly, they're so anxious, they're like about ready to climb out of their skin, and that makes them get a lot of refunds, and it makes them have a lot of complaints. And it could even, you know, create a Better Business Bureau complaint for you. So leave the Walmart customer to Walmart. Walmart does a very good job serving the strictly price-conscious consumer. It's really hard for a small business to serve well, just incredibly hard for a small business to serve well. So choose your customers really carefully and make sure that the person you're selling to is a person who's really going to do good things for your business. All right. Let's see. I'm just going to check Twitter, make sure nobody has a problem. Okay. Dan Kennedy gave a talk about the building an information business on a solid foundation. It was such a good talk. And as some of you know, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Dan Kennedy, but I think I really have a love-hate relationship with his persona, because his persona is so ridiculously abrasive, I want to just, like, you know, smack him. But the guy, he's smart. He's really smart, and he's really, you know, he knows this foundational old-school stuff better, you know, as well as anybody. I mean, the people who knew it better are mostly dead or retired. He is an old-school guy, and he knows the old-school stuff. And he talked about a number of things. His number one truth is it's about the customer, stupid. It's about the customer. It's not about the product. And he mentioned that no serious copywriter would work without an avatar. In other words, like a kind of a character that you invent in your head that you write to. So you write to one person instead of writing to everyone. I write about this quite a bit. It's one of the first pieces of advice I always give. And I think people think, well, that's basic, so then they don't do it. But it's basic in that, like, you have to do this or you're going to just be in a lot of trouble, kind of basic. And his avatar, I thought this was fascinating, that he uses when he does copywriting is Al Bundy. If you remember the old character from the old show, Married with Children, which made so much sense. And I looked around and I saw this whole room full of Al Bundys. Al Bundy is a middle-aged, slightly overweight, working class, cynical, kind of crass, actually, you know, very traditional working class guy, not a likable character at all, in my opinion. Funny, but not to me a likable person. And I realized that was why I was so uncomfortable, because I don't like Al Bundy. So I'm in a room full of Al Bundys. Now, of course, once I got to know these people, they were like very nice, and they weren't crass, and they were smart, and they were cool. And so I kind of got past the persona. But I thought that was totally fascinating. And Kern has talked, too, about he envisions his customer in a certain way, and literally the embodiment of that person, down to the name and the clothes, and the profession, walked up to him and said, you know, I'm Bob. I'm your avatar. It's spooky. So, again, be careful about who that avatar is. Make it somebody you want to do business with. I would never use Al Bundy because I don't relate to Al Bundy. I don't get what makes Al Bundy a good person, so I could never relate to him. So my avatar looks, you know, super different. Another Dan Kennedy point, this is an important one, vastly more people want education, or vastly more people want entertainment than education. And I think we kind of know that, but then we get all caught up in how much we can teach people and how much value we can give. And this is where the kumbaya people, the value first people, stumble a little bit. We want so badly to serve people And so we give them education first, and we give them knowledge first, and we give them, and it's not palatable. It's not something they enjoy. If we want to serve, we have to give people what they want first, and then we have to package that up with what they need. It's the old spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. People want to be entertained. They will all, in the U.S. anyway, and in the developed world, I would say, people will go for what they want over what they need every time, because our needs are well met in the first world. So, you know, almost all of us have some place to sleep, and almost all of us have, you know, enough food, and, you know, the basic needs are met for most people, and certainly for your customers, their basic needs are not really something they think about a lot. And so then they're going to go for the wants. They're going to go for the desires over the needs. So what you have to do is you have to lead with the want, and then bring the value in kind of on the coattails. Still provide value, still provide use, still provide benefits, but always lead with entertainment. Again, Frank Kern, really good example of that. If swearing doesn't bother you, you should watch all of his videos, because he has this entertaining persona, and he switches effortlessly from entertaining goofball to serious, valuable teacher, and he'll just kind of flip back and forth. I don't know of anybody who's doing it quite as well. Gary Vee does a great job, too. That's Gary Vaynerchuk, the wine guy. And a lot of people do it well, and different people do it in different ways. So if you're more of a quiet person, maybe your model should be Darren Rouse, a pro blogger, who's very quiet and soft-spoken. Or your model should be Chris Garrett at ChrisG.com, who's very humble and quiet, but, you know, really has something to offer. So you don't have to feel like you have to be one of these carnival barker, crazy, outsized personality types, but anytime you can deliver a want before a need, you're going to do better. Okay. And then the last thing I'm going to touch on, and maybe I'll go back to the mindset thing, and then I want to get into your questions, is they had a coaching day. So I attended this coaching day because I would like to add a little bit more coaching into my business model. It wasn't a great session. There was a lot of repetition, and it would have been much better if it had been about 3 hours long instead of 6 hours long. But they had a couple of people who had $100,000 a year coaching programs. So you can sign up with them. You can get you pay them $100,000 a year, and they coach you to do. And it's all, these are all business coaches. So these are all people who are going to get your business to the next level, which makes sense because that's really the only way you would have the ROI, the return on investment. And it's interesting to think about stuff like this, not because I'm necessarily going to start a $100,000 a year coaching program. That number to me is like a Mount Everest kind of number, like holy jeeps, you know, that is really a big number. But the thing that is cool is it started me daydreaming about, well, what would I be able to put together where I could offer that much value? And again, and you're doing coaching or advice, and you're in the advice business, you kind of want to aim for 10 to 1. So if I'm going to charge $100,000, I got to basically create $1 million worth of value for somebody. And I wonder what I could do to do that. I wonder what I could do to create $1 million worth of value for, you know, for customers. And it was a really interesting mental exercise. You might think about that for yourself. Sometimes these impossible dream numbers are kind of good because they just jog your thinking a little bit, and they give everything kind of a whack to the side of the head. So that's, I'm going to stick with that for the conference recap. I hope that at least some of those were useful and interesting for you. And now I am going to go to our questions. Let's refresh our questions and answers. 14 questions. Genuine Chris has a great question, which is, why do you assume that salespeople in general are not into giving value first? All of the sales fails are the ones that have ham-fisted techniques. So that is a really good point, which is, good salespeople have known this forever. Good salespeople always know that you don't start by trying to close somebody Just the use of that verb, close, implies this is what happens at the end of the transaction, not at the beginning of the transaction. And I've worked some very high-dollar salespeople, people selling a $300,000 product and doing incredibly well for themselves. And pretty much without exception, these were all more soft-spoken people. They were quiet. They were unassuming. They were about answering questions and delivering value. They were not about trying to use some kind of dopey technique. So that's a really that is a good point, because good salespeople know it. It's bad salespeople or people who are reading like sales manuals that were written in the 1940s for guys who were, you know, literally walking the streets trying to sell vacuum cleaners, and they were selling to a less sales-resistant populace. And so a lot of those old traditional techniques have to be adapted to a new environment. let's see. AJ, a lot of the marketing tips I hear are for consumer or small biz sales. I sell mostly to big corporations. What tips or resources would you recommend there? Selling to big corporations, it's really very similar in a lot of ways. The difference is probably that because you're in a professional relationship, you're in a business, you're in an office kind of relationship, a corporate relationship, you do a little bit less with the person to person in your tone. It's a little bit less about an individual bonding with you as an individual. But you've still got to focus on, there's still a person who decides yes or no, and that person still has a lot of concerns about having problems at work because they bought the wrong thing, a lot of concerns about, you know, how to manage their budget, a lot of concerns about how to get their job done. Again, if you think about helping that person be successful in that role, that's really the key to B2B. The key to B2B is find the person who can say yes and then give that person what they need to be successful at work, to be successful in their career, to do well, to get the promotion, to get the pat on the head, to get the recognition. And so I've seen, for example, really interesting things done with engineering, with these really good newsletters that are entertaining and useful, and they have like engineer humor in them. And yes, engineers have a great sense of humor. It's just not a sense of humor that people who are not engineers always totally relate to. But great stuff that appeals to the person on a personal human level and also gives them a ton of good information that they can use to do their jobs better. Again, giving before you get, very helpful in B2B, particularly because it's unusual in B2B. So the more you can think about, I would say the two things are be different, because there's a ton of clutter. So there's a lot of people who are going to be doing exactly the same thing. You need to look at what your competitors are doing and make sure you look really different. And then the second thing is give them what they need to be successful before you ask for a sale. If you do that, you're going to build in a loyalty that's going to lead to more business. There are some people, and this is not going to help any of you, but there are people who say they can't find the webcast link to click on, but if you entered a question, you're in the right place. So we'll get you set up. Somebody wants to know if I can recommend a great business or a person that can customize WordPress for me. I will just throw it out there, because this is always the recommendation that I give, that menwithpens.ca, that's Men with Pens in Canada, have done, you know, just for, like, if you want to just get your WordPress site set up, rolling, and good, they did a great job for me. And, they've done a great job for everybody I've sent them to, so that would be my recommendation. I don't have any kind of kickback with them, but at this point I'm starting to wish I did. That's a joke, just in case. David, people have expressed great appreciation of my blogs, insights, and articles, and yet I'm not getting the quantity of traction I know I can achieve. That's usually because this is where the people who I tend to work with get stuck. They're good at giving really good content, but they don't ever ask for a sale. And so you have to fold into your mix a certain amount of, I have something for you, you know, here's how it works, here's what it does, here's how it benefits you, here's why you're going to like it, here's what it costs, here's how to buy it. And if you don't kind of regularly do that, people will just assume that your relationship is not commercial, and they'll just happily consume all your free stuff, and they won't connect the dots. It's usually a question of you haven't made it clear enough for them that there is something to buy and that you think it would be a great idea if they went and bought it. I will warn you, you get some people who don't like it. You get some unsubscribes if you have an email list. You get some complaints. The more of a relationship you create, the more value you give, the more people get, a few people get a little cranky with you when you ask for a sale. And that's just part of it. It's just part of the game, and I don't worry about it too much. I always get a couple, when I start, you guys know there's been a little bit of a sales campaign going for this call, and then we're going to have a couple more messages about the membership site, and I've had a few unsubscribes, and it's okay. It's really okay. It's, you know, not everybody is your perfect customer, so you don't worry about the people who are not your perfect customer. You worry about the people who, you sell to the people who are going to buy from you. You don't sell to the people who are never going to buy from you. And we can talk more about that in later if you want to. This is just like fish in a barrel. Darlene, I've been doing lots of research about marketing, using social media to do it, and online businesses. It's overwhelming. I've almost given up. Is there one particular site or source that keeps it simple and easy to get started? Thanks, by the way, for your good advice and counsel. Now, I hate to do this because it's so cheesy, but that is what I tried to create this membership site to do, is to get people out of overwhelm and into here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. So I will tell you, I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit, but embarrassing though it may be, my best answer to that is my own product. Let's see. Kathleen, I'm interested in hearing what you can share about discussion of membership sites, especially those based on continuous learning, like the teaching sales model. That's an interesting question. Kathleen, let me think about that and maybe do it as a blog post because... You know, as most of you know, I am a partner in Teaching Sells, which is a big, very rich, robust, advanced membership site that focuses on teaching people to build certain kinds of information businesses. And I have a lot to say about that. So rather than rush it, I think I'm going to put you off and make a note to myself to create something at a future point. Because I think membership sites are really interesting, and the site that I created is a membership site. I really like the model. How do you measure the effectiveness of marketing campaigns? This is a really good one. The short answer to that is you should only do marketing that you can measure the effectiveness. So email is great because every broadcast email that you send, you can track how many clicks there were, and you send people to a specific web page, and you can look at the conversion on that web page. That's why online-based marketing is so popular, because you know exactly what works and what doesn't work. Because you can track all of the, you know, you can track all the technology, and just something as simple as just create a, only send people to one page and then look at how many sales you got from that page, and that'll tell you how successful that was. If you're doing something like a magazine ad, only have an 800 number that's specifically dedicated to that ad, and that way you know how many people called based on that ad and not a different ad. And that's a really normal part of doing business when you're advertising is you might place an ad in four different publications. You get four different 800 numbers that will, you know, you can track the results. You can track how many orders came in on number one, number two, number three, and number four. That's one of the most important things you always want to think about and ask yourself that question before you do anything is, how am I going to know if this works or not? Now, some things like blogs, they tend to be lateral. They tend to create results that you can't quite track. So it's good to have some of that in there, but you also want to make sure that, particularly if you're spending money, that you track how well that money is coming back to you. Walt has a neat question. So if mainstream small businesses are ready to get real, what are their biggest challenges in using online social marketing tools to pull it off? What's stopping them? I think that one of the biggest things that's stopping them is a outmoded and really wasn't ever super effective ideas about selling and about they have hang-ups about giving to get. They have hang-ups about giving stuff away for free. And typically what we're talking about is information away for free. You want to give something away for free that doesn't cost you much, because otherwise your cash flow will just go, you know, right to hell. So you need to give away something that you can afford to give. But launching too quickly into a pitch instead of creating the relationship first, as a smart salesperson does, and then the pitch comes when the pitch naturally comes, when the customer has a need, when the customer wants to buy, that's when the pitch comes. And the pitch is just in the form of, here's what I've got, here's what it costs, here's what it'll do for you. And then what's the, from Dick, who's one of my faves on Twitter and elsewhere, what's the biggest mistake you see new people making when they try to build a content-rich site? I think that people who are trying to build a content-rich site are kind of doing it right. And so then it's a question of, you know, simple things like don't put it on Blogger. Put it on your own domain. That's one of the biggest ones I see. Some of the best sites out there are on TypePad or Blogger. All you're doing is building authority for somebody else's domain name. So get it onto your own URL that you control. Never, ever build content on any web address that you don't own. And then you better make sure you keep renewing it and make sure that you know, the reminder's not going to your junk folder. Because that stuff, you know, again, for a client too. I mean, I wouldn't build a content site for a client unless I was very well compensated on their domain. Because if they decide to stop paying you, there's not a lot you can do about it. So that's a big one. Another big one is, and I've been guilty of this, not having a graphic design that reflects the quality of the content. If you have a nice, good, professional graphic design, it helps people see the content for what it is. If you have a real, you know, just one of the, like, real simple Blogger templates, it just looks generic. It looks like everybody else's stuff, so people can't see how cool your stuff is. All right. Refresh. Corinda, hey, good to see you. A little question from Corinda. What's a good way to get a response when you ask for comments or ask a question? Best way to get a response is to ask as directly as possible. If you have an email newsletter and you want people to respond to it, you say, please click your reply button to ask me a question. They go right to my inbox. If you want to get a comment on a blog post, you say, I'd like to know what you think about this question, and then have a specific question you want them to answer. Let us know in the comments. The more direct and specific you are, the more response you get. That's almost universally true. And sometimes you have to be so direct you feel kind of weird, like, well, that's kind of blunt. But if you want a response, ask for a response. And also try to only ask for one response. If you ask for too many responses, people get confused. So if it's, you know, call us 800 number or call our website or, you know, visit our YouTube video or check out our Facebook page, it's too many things. Too many ors, people get mixed up. Basically, two options is about the most the average, you know, our poor little monkey brains are so strained by social media and we're so distracted that you give us more than two choices and we just, like, need a nap. So keep it simple, keep it super direct, and keep it very clear. This is a really good one, Andrea in Boulder. How do we deal with repeating information we give away for free in our paid material? Do you just assume people have read all your free stuff, or do you just repeat it? You have to repeat, which is annoying because then the people who really, really like you are sort of like, you already said that. But you do have to repeat because you're always getting new people in. One thing is an email, an autoresponder, is a sequence of emails that goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you always start people on number 1, so everybody always gets all the messages. That's a big advantage that they have over a blog. So it's one of the reasons I like them. And if you have an email newsletter, you definitely want an autoresponder so you can get that stuff. All the stuff everyone should know, everyone gets. The other thing that we do a lot on CopyBlogger is you come up with a different angle for it. So you come up with a different metaphor for saying the same thing. And that can be good because a metaphor that works for one person won't make any sense to another person. And it keeps it fresh while you're still kind of hammering away the same points, because that is one of the biggest, that's one of the biggest challenges to content marketing is you do have to repeat yourself a lot. So how do you keep from boring yourself and everybody else to death? All right, I'm going to go ahead and just answer one more question, and then I'm going to tell you about this membership site. And then I think I will circle back and give you the Frank Kern mindset techniques. I found it really valuable. I hope you do too. So, quick question from... I'll start with this one. Quick question from Diana Los Gatos, the wonderful California suburb that I know so well. Used to be great apricot farms down there. Do you have a recommended length for blog posts, or does it vary depending on the target audience? It does kind of vary based on your target audience and based on you and based on what you have to talk about. I usually do an intro, an exit, and three kind of many points in the middle. That ends up being about 1,000 words. That's kind of a nice place to start, but you also might want to read Seth Godin's blog. He does typically one or two paragraph posts, and they're so good. And that can be really nice, and that can be a nice, it's much easier to blog more frequently if you're just going to do one or two paragraphs. So I would mix up some short ones that are, you know, have an interesting idea. Those are also, they're often good for comments because they kind of get people thinking, and then they have to add to the conversation. And then some longer reference posts of 1,000 and even 2,000 or 3,000 words that are more, get into more detail, that helps create authority on your blog. And then how do I start on Twitter? I'm brand new with 12 followers. I know it's weird when you get started. Just keep doing it. And keep looking, look for people you know and like, and follow them, and then see who they talk to. You know, look at their stream and see, well, who are they talking to? And just start following people who seem neat, follow bloggers that you like, and kind of grow it from there. It's really weird at first, but it's pretty quick that you'll start to, catch your breath. Many people still auto-follow, so a lot of people you follow will follow you back as a matter of course. I don't, just so people know, because I don't use any tools to, like, filter out 9/10 of my people I follow, which is what most people do. So I can only follow about 300 people, or else I get brain damaged and I don't see anybody. So if I don't auto-follow you, that's why. If people kind of send me enough of those at messages where they, you know, they start a conversation, very often I'll follow them back and just see what's going on. But I just kind of have to limit my attention because I don't feel good about following somebody and then not reading them. To me, that sort of feels not honest. And that's just me. I mean, everybody has a different way to do it, but that's my feeling. So if I'm following you, I'm actually reading your stream, just so you know. So the Frank Kern thing, this is... he talked about the biggest issue for him, the biggest issue for a lot of us. Oh, let me do the membership site first, and then I'll do the Frank Kern thing. So the membership site is called RemarkableMarketingBlueprint.com. And what it is basically is about maybe a year and a half ago, I was really thinking about, like, how could I make this process easier on another person than it was for me? Because I started off trying to build a copywriting business, and I'm a very poor salesperson. So the 30-second version of this Glaser Kennedy story is I got up there. I had 70 minutes to talk. I talked for about 55 minutes about, you know, just important stuff that they needed to know about marketing and social media. And then I was like, here's this thing I've got to sell. This is what it is. These are the CDs. I don't like to sell. You already know if you want it or not. If you want it, you should get it. And if you have questions, ask me. And I actually had people, like, give me condolences on what a terrible sales presentation it was, but I sold about over double what I thought I was going to sell. I sold probably 10% of the room, which is extremely respectable. And partly that's because those people were there to buy, but also partly it's because they were so fed up with sales pitches that it was just kind of refreshing, you know, to see somebody who's just not, like, you know, twisting their arm and giving them all the, and wait, there's more. Let me give you this extra bonus. So the membership site is about how somebody like me who doesn't like to sell, who's not good at it, who will not cold call, but who has something, a good service, you know, something that I know is of value to other people, and I'd like to get it marketed and get it out there so people can make, you know, send me money and I can quit my day job, which I did. Not that long ago. I quit my day job in March of this year. So, you know, maybe 7 or 8 months ago. How do you get to that point? How do you go from here to there? Or if you don't have a day job, how do you get to the point where your business is bringing customers in reliably and you're not just constantly pulling your hair out trying to figure out how you're going to get people in the door or how you're going to get them to buy once they get there? So it's just a blueprint. It's a roadmap. It's, you know, it's the steps that I think are valuable to get from to find new people, get them in the door, get them into a relationship with you, give them some value, give to get, and then what you actually do to make sales once you've got them, how to make an offer, how to do a call to action, all that stuff. So it's a audio lesson. It's an audio-based program. Every week you get one audio lesson on MP3, and you get a worksheet. And these worksheets have been in teaching sales. I do them for teaching sales, and I really found them valuable. They get you out of theory and into doing something. So they tell you what to do next. Now, first, I want you to do this. I want you to go to this website. I want you to sign up for this. I want you to put, you know, fill in your first you know, email thing. I want you to test it out. I want you to, so it just tells you what to do next. And I've found for myself that's just hugely useful. I can get all the theory I want, but if I don't kind of sit down and work out some actual steps to do, I never act on it. There are also complete transcripts. So if you hate audio, that's fine. We're transcribing everything. I edit all the transcripts so they make sense as opposed to some of the unedited nonsense that I see out there. So they take a couple of days, but you'll get a transcript a couple of days after the audio lesson is posted. We're going to do regular Q&A calls similar to this one, but more focused on individual questions for members. And we have an online community, and that's going to be huge. It's so valuable for us in teaching sales that we have this online community where, first of all, people kind of get mini coaching with us and with me in this case, where, you know, they're stuck about how an idea applies to their business, and we get them rolling again. We get the sand under their wheels. We get them going again. But the other thing that you don't realize is so valuable until you do it is access to one another, because seeing how your peers handle certain issues is so helpful. Getting advice of your peers, getting support, making partnerships, finding, you know, if you want a great copywriter, maybe there's somebody who's a great copywriter, but they need a great graphic designer. So you can make terrific partnerships. And so that, I've seen how valuable it is in teaching sales, so I knew I wanted to include it in my thing. So that's the course, and it's going to be, it's 6 modules, and we're just going to go through 1 lesson a week until we're done. And so as you go, you're going to keep building. You're going to keep having stuff you can use right away, and it'll just kind of keep getting better and better for you. And we'll go from step one to step Z as long as you want to keep learning. I'll keep adding. If you go to remarkablemarketingblueprint.com, you will see the letter that explains it all out to you. So what's in all the modules? You know, kind of what they're going to do for you, what's in the system. Right now, we have a charter price for people. So this charter group of members, it's the first set of members for this week. We're going to give the site away at $27 a month, which is really, really good value. It's going to go up a lot as more content gets developed. So you get a good price because you're in right at the beginning, and so you're going to get the content dripped more slowly than somebody who's going to be paying $97 a month in a few months. So we're going to go $27 a month for the launch, and then sometime around the first of the year, we'll bump it up to $47 a month, and then $97. And then those of you who remember teaching sales started at $97 a quarter, and it's now $1,600. Proceeded along this model, I very much take them as my model for how I'm going to do it. So it's a good price. And the other cool thing is that the charter people, it's your concerns and your business and your problems and your real world stuck spots that shape the course. So if you're totally stuck on getting content created, if you don't like to write, and that's what you want to have a lot more material about, we might put in 2 or 3 times as much material as I had planned because it's going to be in response to what you really need. So that's kind of the coolest thing to me about being a charter member. I was a charter member of Teaching Sales, and you get a good price because the content is not created yet, but in a way, it's better content because it's shaped for you. It's created for you. It's created for your needs. You're kind of the guinea pigs, but you're also sort of the pioneers. So $27 a month, tried to keep it extremely accessible for this group. And remarkablemarketingblueprint.com is where you go. There's a giant pink button that says let me in. You can PayPal. We're going to start on Wednesday with our content just so I can get everybody sorted out. And if there's anybody who, you know, has a problem signing in or anything, I don't want anybody to feel like they're starting late because they're having problems with any technical glitches. So we're going to get everybody in and settled. And then once people are settled down, then we'll go ahead and start with the first lessons on Wednesday morning. They're all recorded, so it's just a question of getting them organized and off to you. All right, so the Frank Kern marketing, I'm just going to check Twitter and make sure nobody has any major freakouts or questions or unanswered issues. Hi, Dean. Thank you. Would love to hear that URL link again, remarkablemarketingblueprint.com. And I will email you, believe me, and let you know. I will try not to spam you, but I will try to give you good value. Okay, so the Frank Kern mindset thing. This is cool and it's fast. He talks about the fact that most of the people who buy from him or who want to buy from him, they have the knowledge. They don't do it. They don't do it. And they don't do it because their mindset's not on square, which I think probably almost all of us see that in ourselves and say, yep, there's stuff I could be doing. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because my mindset's not on straight. So here's his, what does he call it? His effortless abundance cycle. How's that for a hypey sounding thing? And I just thought this was cool and something you might jot down. And it's been really like working for me. So see if it works for you. His cycle starts with right action. Be super cool to everybody. And this really ties into results in advance. And I'm such a dope. I was like, I gave free content away for about 2 years before I sold anything, which is maybe overdoing it a little bit. Although Chris Brogan has me beat. Chris Brogan gave free content away for 11 years before he asked anybody for anything. And I please don't do that because you don't need to. I mean, you know, people are happy to engage with you on a deeper level, which they can do, you know, by buying stuff or being a client or whatever. So let the people do it who want to do it. But start off with right action. Be super cool to everybody. Give good stuff. Do good stuff. You know, if you have a physical business, do cool stuff in your community. Just be cool. Be super excellent to everyone. It's the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure School. I'm going to totally write that as a post, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I am not kidding. I'm writing that down. Look for it in Copyblogger. Or maybe Remarkable Communication, which needs a post. So right action leads to positive expectancy. It leads to a mindset of, because what happens is you get good feedback. People say, that was cool, that cool thing you did. That was super valuable. This is literally, for me, this is what keeps me going because, you know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I don't get enough sleep and, you know, I've got my kid and I've got my business and I've got my obligations and I get tired. And just when I'm like really burned out, I get a message from somebody that says, this thing that you gave me for free totally changed the way I saw things and I started to do it your way and I'm seeing results and you are like really, really helped me and I want to thank you. And that's just like, okay, I'm flying around on little pink wings and I'm so happy and jazzed. So that's what gives you the energy. When you put the right action into it, then you get the energy out of it because people are happy because you did something cool. That leads to your very best work. That leads to you being a little bit crazy about doing right by your people because not only are you creating a relationship where they trust you, but you're creating a relationship where you are trusted by them, and that puts like an obligation on you, and you want to do your best for them. You don't want to let them down. You don't want to give them crap. You don't want to give them junk that they're not going to use. You want to over-deliver. You want to deliver. You want to meet your deadlines. Again, that's the only thing that's kept me going. I mean, I would rather, you know, in some ways it looks very inviting to just go back to the corporate world, collect a paycheck, and never think about hustling a business. But I couldn't do that to all the people who want me to make something cool for them. And I know that sounds hokey, but you really do get to that space where you feel – inspired to do your very best work. And then when you do your very best work and you've been doing cool stuff and you have this energy of, yeah, I can do this, you start to get results and encouragement. You start to make sales. I sold, and I'm just going to tell you this because I don't want to creep you out, but I just want to give you an idea of the possibilities. I went into the conference thinking I wasn't going to make enough money to make my airfare. And I sold $25,000 worth of CDs by not selling, you know. And that's really encouraging. That's like, holy cow, you know. What I have is valuable, and what I have is something that people want to buy. And so you get that encouragement, you get that kind of holy cow thing. Holy cow, this rules. That's not what Frank Kern said. What he said had a lot more dirty words in it. But it's the same idea. And so the encouragement leads you right back to right action, being super cool to everybody. You have the energy. It's all about getting energy by doing good stuff and getting the feedback. And it's a cool cycle. It's a good cycle. And Kern says the people he knows who are making the money and doing it and getting it done, and not just the, like, big, you know, famous people, but his customers, people you might not have heard of in smaller niche businesses, the ones who are getting it done, this is what he's observed as their cycle. And so I've found focusing on that has been useful for me, and I hope that it's valuable for you too. So RemarkableMarketingBlueprint.com is the site. I will email it to you. So if you had to jump off early or you can't understand me or anything like that, we'll get it to you. Oh, please spell Frank Kern. It's K-E-R-N. Thank you, Elaine, for asking. Yes, Corinda, you can share the URL. There's 250 spots for the beta group. So I don't know how many people are on this call. It's like telling me zero attendees, and yet here you are listening. So but there should be enough it's not going to sell out, like by noon. So, yeah, go ahead and share the URL if you want to. That would be lovely of you. And I don't know. You guys all rock. You know how to get me by email. Sonia@copyblogger.com is good. Any of the email addresses for my email newsletters all go to the same inbox, and I answer them. And if I haven't answered them, it's because I got 100 emails that day and I missed you. But I read them all, and I try hard to answer every single email I get from a real person and not a spam bot. I will send you some more email this week. I'm going to send you the last one of the What Makes Marketing Hard lessons. If you are not on the email list, you can go to remarkablecommunication.com and sign up for the email newsletters and get the What Makes Marketing Hard series, which has been really good. And I'll send you a couple more emails this week and try and sell you a little stuff. But basically, that's what I've got. So thank you guys so much. This is so cool to have this call. I'm going to do more of these because it's so fun to see what's on people's minds and connect. And thanks again for your time and attention. If you want to go to the membership site, it's remarkablemarketingblueprint.com. You can see my cute avatar with the cute pink hair. Talk to you soon, guys. Bye-bye.